Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. We're going to start out talking about this big cover story in USA Today, a week ago, about people who shack up. Now, I don't think they call it shacking up once in the whole article. They call it cohabiting. If you're cohabiting, like you both have the same habit. So you're cohabiting. But here at Bob Enyart Live, we call it shacking up. That's even what they call it at my church. When I go to church on Sundays in Denver Bible Church, they call it shacking up. And they say, don't shack up. It'll ruin your chance for a happy life and a good marriage. And people today say, well, if you live together first, you'll improve your odds of having a good marriage. Well, this cover story in USA Today says that if you shack up, the odds are increased significantly that you will get a divorce if you later get married. And most of the people who shack up don't get married. And so, and the people say, well, you know, if we're gonna get married, we better live together first to just improve our odds. And so then those people who then do get married, they get divorced at this astronomical rate. We also have a story of the Forest Service in California has ordered an Army veteran, he's also a retired police officer, to remove his American flag and his flagpole. He has to remove the flagpole and the American flag that he's flown outside his summer cabin for 23 years. The Forest Service has told him and others that at their cabins they've been leasing on Forest Service land for decades, they're not allowed to fly a flag from a flagpole. And so just some bureaucratic inanity. How's that for a word? And so we'll get to that story. That's a Washington Times story. And hopefully the Forest Service will rescind that absurd decision. And then last week, we, along with others, were railing against the post office for refusing to allow their letter carriers to be a part of this government program called TIPS, you know, the Terrorist Information and Prevention System, where they're asking people just to be vigilant and keep their eyes open, and people who work along the borders of the country, people who work on ships and in harbors, people who work on the highways, postal carriers, if you just could keep your eyes open and report anything suspicious, the same as the government has asked every American to do. The post office said, no, we're not going to do it. And so, you know, they must have been railed against quite a bit because in 24 hours, they changed their position and they've said that they have decided to meet with the Justice Department after all to discuss Operation TIPS, Terrorist Information and Prevention System. Now, I want to talk to go to one of our co-hosts here. Is that? Oh, I'm sorry. I can't read that. What do we have here? Yeah. Hey, Doug. Welcome, Doug. Hey, Doug. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Doug McBurney, who's a co-host here on Bob Enyart Live Friday nights.
Yeah, hey, Bob, I'm not officially signed up as a member of TIPS.
Yeah.
But I want to file a report.
All right.
Yeah, on someone who is allowing terrorism to grow and fester here in the country.
Uh-oh, who is it?
It's CNN.
Oh, CNN.
Yeah, hey, listen, I'm in a hotel in Tampa. I only have CNN.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to hear the beginning of the show. Did you talk about the Israeli missile strike that just went down?
No, tell me about it.
Well, listen, the Israelis attacked three buildings in Gaza with a missile strike.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's good news, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Now, they killed one of the top-level leaders of Hamas.
Wow, that's really great news.
But there's a problem in the way it's being reported here in America and around the world on CNN.
Yeah?
They cut in with breaking news. They announced this strike by Israel against this Hamas leader. But on the screen, all they showed was pictures of Palestinian children caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, that is despicable.
And so, Bob, my question to you is, if there's a terrorist leader hiding in a residential apartment building, whose fault is it when he gets killed and there's collateral damage? Who's at fault here?
Right. It's just like Saddam Hussein hiding his weapons in his own ugly body among civilians, using civilians as shields. And I personally think Israel, if they had... when you're going out, say we're going after Adolf Hitler, and we know he's in an apartment building, we're going to bomb it. We're going to bomb the apartment building and try to kill him. And if there are civilians around him, they'd be wise to get away. And so it's very good news that this Salak Shakada, that's his name.
What? Who?
The Hamas activist, the senior activist, Salak Shakada.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, it's great news that he's dead, Bob, but I just cannot believe the way CNN reports this story. Mm. They basically present it as an attack on attack by Israel that will once again inflame the situation.
Right.
And they don't talk about the fact that this Hamas leader put these civilians at risk by hiding in this apartment building and basically forcing Israel's hand to kill him.
Right. Now, you know what's interesting, Doug? When I talk to Christians who are anti-Semitic, they're racist against the Jews.
Yeah.
They tell me that the American media is pro-Israel.
Oh, really?
And that just cracks me up. Because this is so typical. You know, Israel kills a terrorist, and the American media, AOL, Time Warner, the largest media outlet in the world, they do it this way, that Israel is killing women and children. And, you know, apparently it's, according to the Jerusalem Post, I just looked it up, four women and three children were killed.
Right.
And let's see. And the senior Hamas activist. So it's sad. It's tragic. It's collateral. But it's not the headline that civilians were killed. Hey, Bob Inyart here, and this is a live commercial break. You're listening to a program called Bob Inyart Live. We air over the Information Radio Network and in a few cities around the country, and beginning later this week. We don't have an exact date, but later this week, Bob Inyart Live will be airing in Indianapolis. If you go to our website on the internet, kgov.com, it has the very helpful and insightful notice. Later this week, Bob Inyart will be back on the air in Indianapolis on WNTS 1590 AM. So we are excited about that. It's taken us a little bit of time to work out the technical details, but that should happen later this week. Now, hey, for those of you who live in the Denver area, come on out and visit Denver Bible Church some Sunday. We have Sunday morning Sunday school service, Sunday night Bible study. We're in the book of Romans right now, Sunday night. Sunday mornings, we're doing the Sermon on the Mount. We're up to the Lord's Prayer. Boy, is that interesting. And in September, for the whole month of September in Sunday school, we'll be talking about the challenge of raising kids in this godless culture of ours. So that's during the month of September. But for those who don't live in the Denver area, Hey, you could join in on the fun also. You can call us at 1-888-836-9278. You could sign up to receive the monthly sermons, the monthly Bible study tapes. You can get Best of Bob, the eight best radio shows of the month, all mailed to you on audio cassette. So call us up. Hey, also I want to tell you about our manuscript, The Plot. Have we been selling any plots lately? I'm asking our... Yes. I'm getting a big yes, a head nod. We're selling plots. That's always so good to hear. We have sold a few thousand of these manuscripts, The Plot. It's an overview of the whole Bible. And the goal is to help people understand the details in the Bible. But it's been my impression for a quarter of a century of looking at Christian material that so much of it dives right in and looks at the details. You could buy a book on speaking in tongues or the rapture or eternal security or should you keep the Sabbath or whatever. But there are not many books on the overview of the whole Bible. So you first understand the big picture, then the details, they tend to fall into place. All right, we're back. 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So, Doug, you're in Tampa, Florida?
Yeah, I'm in Tampa, Bob, and you know, I'd like to tell you something personal, if it's okay.
Yeah.
I was listening to your commercial there. I get to hear the live commercials.
Yeah.
Denver Bible Church and the Bible study and the plot.
Right.
And it's all such awesome stuff, and I just want to tell you a little story about what happened to me here in Tampa, something that Denver Bible Church did for me.
Oh.
Okay?
What did we do?
Well, you did something great for me. I rolled into town here in Tampa, and I'm always trying to keep expenses to a minimum, you know, when I'm traveling.
Right.
And so I drove into, I don't know where I am here in Tampa, but I drove to basically the first cheap-looking local motel that I could find.
Right.
I'm trying to keep expenses down, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for the company.
I checked in with the front desk there, and I go to my room, which is on the ground floor outside, and I start to load out my gear. I got a lot of gear, a lot of expensive electronic equipment, my laptop and all this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting ready to go in, and I open the door, and I start putting in my gear, and I'm approached by a drug dealer.
Whoa.
Who asked me if I want a party and do I need any drugs.
And then you shot him.
Bob, they won't let me take a gun on the airplane.
Okay, so you didn't shoot him. So what did we do for you?
I'm defenseless, right?
Yeah.
But and this guy offers me drugs. And I've still got $5,000 worth of equipment in the car that I've got to get from the car to the hotel room.
Right.
Right? And, then, within minutes, I'm solicited by a prostitute.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not kidding you. Right here in Tampa, Florida.
You picked quite a hotel there, Doug.
Well, I'm trying to keep expenses down, you see.
All right.
And it looked pretty nice from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Bob, what Denver Bible Church did for me is, I got to tell you, Bob, there was a time in my life when I would have looked at that situation and I would have thought myself to be in a good situation.
Oh.
But Bob, what I've learned from you and from Denver Bible Church and from the Bible.
Wow.
And in the book of Genesis, in the story of Joseph,
yeah.
There's only one thing to do in that situation if you're unarmed.
Right.
And that is to flee iniquity.
Wow.
And I fled.
Praise the Lord, Doug.
I fled iniquity and I'm staying at the Ramada Inn now.
All right. Hey,
but Bob, I really want to thank you for helping me to change my whole worldview, my whole perspective, and my whole life. I want to thank you and God.
Praise
God first and you.
Praise the Lord, Doug. That is so encouraging. Hey, and Doug, that's an incredible story and testimony of what God can do in our lives, especially when we encourage one another. And
yeah.
We're not ashamed of the gospel and we're bold in telling people what God can do for them. You know what? That story of the drug dealer approaching you in the parking lot and you not having a gun,
yeah.
That reminded me of two other stories. One, we reported this on the air a couple years ago when it happened. A drug deal went down in a hotel parking lot, and it went bad, and the guy selling the drugs shot the guys trying to buy the drugs and took their money and split.
Yeah.
The guys trying to buy the drugs, they sued the hotel, and if I'm not mistaken, it was a Ramada Hotel. And they won a huge amount of money, tens of thousands of dollars, because the hotel had an unsafe parking lot. And they were the drug buyers. Isn't that a funny story?
I remember that one.
But, oh, you do?
I do remember that
story. Now, let me tell you. Now, the second story, it didn't make the news. Well, it might have made Bob and Yurt Live. I don't remember. Tell me
that's
if you remember this one. I was with my wife and our little kids on the beach in Maui.
Yeah.
And we were letting our two boys go surfing. And we were walking with the little ones. And we walked by. We're going to some picnic tables. And there's about 8 or 10, 20, young 20s, 19 to 25-year-olds sitting on a couple picnic tables. And I'm carrying my one-year-old with me, and he says to me, "Hey, man, you want to buy some drugs?" And I said to the one of the 8 or 10, I said, "I'd like to punch you right in the face." And I kept walking. And so anyway, he, I guess, felt insulted in front of all his friends, and he called out something or other. I didn't pay attention. We sat down, and I noticed he was coming over. Well, he was sort of looking over like he was really mad, and I thought, oh, brother, that was stupid of me, and here I am totally defenseless. So I said, "Lord, only if I had a weapon." So I walked about 15 feet from our picnic table to bushes, and I looked under the first bush I came to, and do you know there was a knife? There was
a knife.
And it was like a knife that you might open clams with, like a homemade knife wrapped one side with electrical tape. So I said, "Thank you, Lord." I picked it up, put it in my pocket. And that was it.
Kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah, I don't think God materialized the knife under the bush.
No, but
I felt good that I found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, there was no problems.
Well, Bob, unfortunately, I didn't have a weapon in order to confront these people. And by the way, by the time I actually fled, there was at least a half a dozen of these type of characters congregating around the front of my room. I think that maybe at this hotel that they kind of look for the businessman type traveling.
Right.
And try to take advantage and try to either molest him or rob him or something like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to defend myself or make an attack. And to be honest with you, Bob, I thought about it, about should I make some type of witness to these people about God?
Mm.
But then I just fled.
Yeah, right.
Jumped in the car and I fled.
That was a good move.
Drove to a better part of town and found at least a half-decent Ramada. It's not great, but at least there's no crack dealers on the front porch.
Oh, so you didn't even stay there?
No, no way.
Very.
No, I had to grab my credit card receipt from the front desk and tell them I'm out of here.
All right. All right, very good. Hey, Doug, before you go, maybe you could help me respond to this email I just got from Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay.
All right. And it's all right. I'll just read it to you.
All right.
Brother Enyart, I like your show a lot. I listen to it almost every day in Springfield, Massachusetts. I am not currently listening to your program, but I had a question for you. You use the term fool very often. I'm talking specifically the word fool, F-O-O-L.
Uh-huh.
And then he quotes a Bible verse.
Yeah.
If I read the verse, I have to give the warning, otherwise the FCC will kick us off the air.
You should do that, yeah.
All right. Warning, warning, warning. Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to silence anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered.
That's fair notice.
Yeah, that they can't complain now. So, Doug, he quotes Matthew 5, verse 22, where Jesus says, don't call anybody a fool or you're in danger of hellfire.
Oh, really?
You remember that verse?
You know, Bob, you know how immature that sounds to me that he would quote that verse to you?
Well, he's a nice guy. Doug, he's a nice guy. Remember, he likes to shell. Let's be nice to him.
Well, yeah, but I think he's a little bit spiritually immature, and I can prove my point.
Go ahead.
You know, when me and my brother were young, we went to church, and at one point we came across this verse.
Yeah.
Don't call your brother a fool or you're in danger of hellfire.
Right.
And now, being brothers, we often fought and wrestled and tortured each other in various ways.
Right.
And after we found out about this verse, now we were immature. We were just kids, remember. I'm talking 7, 8, 9 years old maybe.
Yeah.
Me and my brother was bigger than I was, and he would pin me down on the floor, and he would torture me in various ways.
Right.
Until I called him a fool.
He would force you to, instead of saying, say uncle, he said, call me a fool, call me a fool.
Right, right.
So he would torment you and to make sure that you would go to hell.
Right, and then at the moment I called him a fool, he'd say, you're in danger of hellfire. But Bob, we were only 7.
Right.
You know, that's so spiritually immature. In fact, I'm sure that you could find examples, maybe even in the Bible, where a God and his prophets called people fools and even mocked them.
Oh, yeah, and the apostles.
Yeah.
Right. And if someone is a fool, does it benefit them in any way for you not to let them know that?
I think the complete opposite. If you don't let them know they're a fool, then you're really doing them a disservice.
Right. So how do we understand Jesus' statement when he says, if you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of hellfire? See, this is...
I think, Bob, obviously, if you read the context of the entire statement that Jesus made...
Now, don't give me that context stuff.
You should never call someone a fool without cause.
Without cause.
Yeah, and isn't that fairly clear from earlier in the...
Without a cause, now it has those words in that very verse, without a cause.
Yeah.
But those words are not in the same exact phrase.
But Bob, Jesus isn't a lawyer writing a contract. I mean, come on, does he have to say it before every statement?
And maybe before every word. Maybe... And see, that's the way Christians, Doug, that's why we push the plot. It teaches people not only the overview of the Bible, but how to read the Bible, how to understand it. It's as though Jesus would have to say, but without a cause, whoever says without a cause, you fool without a cause, shall be without a cause, in danger without a cause, of hellfire without a cause. Just for people to get the idea that he's talking about without a cause. If you call somebody a fool, and he is a fool, God will reward you. If someone is a fool, and you don't let him know he's a fool, God will hold his sin at your account. His blood will be on your hands, God says.
I mean, what if you get to heaven and you find out that because you were trying to be so nice and not insult someone, that you missed a great opportunity to have them repent and realize they were a fool and they end up in hell? How are you going to feel?
Yeah, you know, a number of the people I've gotten to lead to the Lord started out with me saying to them, you know, you are a fool. You are a fool. The Bible says if you say there is no God, you are a fool.
Amen.
So, hey, Doug, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Bob. God bless you. Hey, and I got a secret bit of advice for you, Bob.
Oh, well, during the break. All right, I just got the secret advice from Doug McBurney. He said, download before you upload. I did. Believe it or not, I did it already. I downloaded and uploaded. Now, if you don't do web stuff, you might not know what that means, but around here it's important. Okay, hey, this is a live commercial break. I guess you could figure that out since I just mentioned Doug. But it's a live commercial break. You don't get that on most shows. You get it on some shows, but most shows you get canned commercials. Here, we tell you based on, does it fit into the show? Which of our materials have we been talking about already? We were just talking about the utmost Christian cliche of don't call anyone a fool. That's higher than the Ten Commandments to most Christians. You know, the Ten Commandments say don't murder, and a lot of Christians, they don't get too upset about abortion. They said it says don't commit adultery. They don't get too upset about fornication. It says don't steal. They don't get too upset about government welfare programs. It says don't bear false witness against your neighbor, and they don't really have much to think or say about perjury. But you go and call somebody a fool, and they're going to get on your case. Because the Bible says, don't call anyone a fool. In fact, it's in red letters. Jesus said it. Without a cause. Without a cause. Don't call anyone a fool without a cause. Don't be angry without a cause. If you have grounds for being angry, then be angry and sin not. So we have a seminar we've done called Nicer Than God, and we have it on audio tape. It's fun, too. Nicer Than God, 6 tapes, about an hour each. Is it an hour a tape or an hour and a half? Hour and a half. Wow. That's a lot of material. On not only issues like, well, it's called Nicer Than God because Christians have been taught that they have to be so nice that they are now nicer than God is. God is nice, but he's only so nice. He draws the line of niceness at a certain threshold. And God shows you he's nice, but only so nice. Now, by the way, the word nice is not in the Bible. Nice is not in the Bible. So check out this album. You'll like it. Nicer Than God. Okay, and our friend from Springfield, Massachusetts, and Doug was a little harsh. I got to read the whole email here, and it says, I agree with 99.99. This is 7 nines here. 7 nines is a lot of nines. 99.99999% with all you say. You know, that percentage of the year, if you agreed with somebody throughout the year, 99.99999% of the time, that means you would only be disagreeing with them about 5.3 seconds per year. That's a high level of agreement. So that's real nice. But he said, Jesus said, if you call somebody a fool, you'll be in danger of hellfire. And then our friend from Springfield, Massachusetts says, why risk it? And why risk it? I'm secure in my salvation and in my understanding of the Bible. My Christianity is not based on cliches. It's my experience that for Christians all over the world, we've seen it. We've seen it from Israel to Italy, through this country, to New Zealand. We've seen it firsthand that the Christian cliches are rigidly adhered to, whereas the substantive teachings of the Bible, are so many of them are almost unknown. And that's why we sell this manuscript, The Plot. Have you ever bought a manuscript? Not a book, a bound book, but an unpublished, best-selling manuscript. You know, The Plot has sold more copies than the majority of published books, and it's unpublished. It's a bit expensive. It's $29.95. But we actually, in the fall, the price is going up. We lowered the price after we sold the first couple thousand plots. We sold them for $49.95 each. And then we lowered the price to $29.95, and in the fall, we'll be raising it again. But when you understand the Bible, the overview of the Bible, you get it. And does it make sense to you that Jesus would say, if you call somebody a fool, you might go to hell? Does that make sense? It doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, people do a lot of stupid things, a lot of wrong things, and you don't live your life on eggshells thinking that you just call somebody a fool, you might go to hell, even if they are a fool. Imagine that. If there's a fool, and you call him a fool, and Jesus says, you're going to hell because you call the fool a fool. Say, well, explain that again to me. Why am I going to hell? Now, does that make sense? You see, but Christians have been conditioned to believe with unwavering, unswerving faith dozens of things that make virtually no sense. Like you can't judge anyone. You have to forgive everyone. All sins are equal. There's no time in heaven. And a bunch of others that we deal with in the plot. And on the show, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Okay, now this USA Today article about if you shack up, and this is what we've said on the show for years, for over 10 years. People think, well, if you live together first, you'll improve your odds at marriage. And we've said for over 10 years, the exact opposite is the case. So shacking up increases your risk of divorce. So here's this article, cover story, USA Today, in their life section, that even married men feel less committed if they've shacked up first. And they're talking about a conference in Washington, D.C. a week ago on marriage and family and couples. And the "and couples" part makes me think that this is not a conference that's organized by Christians. It's just my gut feel. And the fact that USA Today writes about it makes me think that it's not something organized by Christians. And the fact that they make it a cover story. Well, one of the researchers, Scott Stanley, said that his research shows that women who live with unmarried men, if those women expect a lasting committed marriage, they better think again. His research finds that men who shack up with women, now they say cohabit, that they both have the same habit, I guess, but men who shack up with women and they eventually marry those women, that those men are less committed to the union, to the marriage, than men who had never lived with their spouses ahead of time. Now, there's a news flash for you, huh? News flash. Because why is it? Well, he can't figure it out. He can't figure it out in the article. But if it's okay to have sex outside of marriage, then when the guy gets married, hey, it's still okay to have sex outside of marriage. Marriage is not the exclusive venue for physical relations. Let's go to the phone, South Bend, Indiana, 1-888-1-800-8-N-YARDS. James, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing great, sir.
Hey, I just want to let you know that I'm a Christian, and I call people fools. And I go to theologyonline.com.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever heard of that.
It's the best Christian website in the world.
Yeah, I found that a couple months ago, and I was really timid about dialoguing with other Christians and non-believers about theology and such.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is that people out there, a lot of them really are fools. And a lot of people really do need to be told that they are being foolish about what they believe.
Right. Now, so, James, you have called people fools. The Bible says if you say there is no God, you are a fool. And Jesus called people fools, and the Apostle Paul told the Galatians that they were fools. And if somebody's a fool, you're doing them a disservice if you don't tell them.
I've even told Christians that they've even been foolish for preaching something contrary to the Bible and helping out, actually helping the non-believers out.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Now, James, how would you respond to our friend from Massachusetts who quoted Matthew 5:22, where Jesus said, if you say you fool, you'll be in danger of hellfire?
He was probably talking to hypocrites, wasn't he?
Well, hypocrites, well, that's when Jesus said, don't judge.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you hypocrite, don't judge if you're a hypocrite. First, make sure you're not doing the same thing,
yeah.
and then judge.
That's, well, being in danger doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go into hellfire. It just means you better be careful for what you're doing, right?
Well, but and he says in the same verse, without a cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there we go. That's it.
Well, right. And even still, if you're a Christian, even if you're a Christian saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you call someone a fool and you're wrong, you're not going to go to hell.
Yeah.
You're not going to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus had a really, really, really good reason for saying exactly what he said. And we get into it quite a bit in the plot. But right now, for On the Air, Jesus said, if you're angry without a cause, you're sinning. And if you call someone a fool, you're sinning without a cause.
Without a cause, yeah.
The point is without a cause. But Jesus doesn't have to say that every time. Like where he says in Matthew 5 also, he says, if you divorce or remarry, that is a sin except for sexual immorality, Jesus says. And in Matthew 19:9, he says the same thing. If you, and we already gave the warning earlier.
Okay.
he says, if you get a divorce or remarry, it is a sin except for sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
He says that.
Yeah.
But in other places where he's making a different point, like in Luke, and he's not talking about divorce and remarriage, he's just making an illustration, he doesn't put the exception in. But that doesn't mean the exception doesn't exist or that it's nullified. You don't have to repeat the exception to a rule every time you use an instance of the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Indiana, when you come to a stoplight, a red light, is it legal after you stop to make a right on red?
If there's no sign.
If there's no sign, right?
Yeah.
So a red light means you have to stop and wait until the light turns green.
Well, you can turn on right as long as there's not a turn on right sign.
Yeah, right, except there's an exception. If there's no sign, you can make a right-hand turn.
Yeah, exactly.
After you come to a full stop.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're explaining to somebody what you have to do at a stoplight,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to include the exception every time that you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-Yurt. That's the call-in show. Oh, this is the commercial break. You know, when you do live commercial breaks, it's sometimes the show just flows into the breaks. So that's interesting. That's fun, actually. Our videos, I want to tell you about defending the faith. It's apologetics. Bob and Yurt and Dave Spiegel. Dave is a Denver area apologist. He is an expert in apologetics, answering those who object that if somebody says Jesus did not, that Jesus was never raised from the dead. If somebody says that, how do you respond? What do you say? Well, there are a lot of things you could say, but there's some extremely effective things you can say also. And so that's what we cover on that video, Defending the Faith, Apologetics with Dave Spiegel and Bob Enyart. You can call us at 1-888-8-ENYART and order that video. If somebody says, oh, Jesus never rose from the dead. Now, one of the things Dave will teach you to say is, how is the evidence for the resurrection insufficient? In what way do you think the evidence is too weak? Explain that to me, because I've been convinced by the evidence that Christ did raise. He was raised from the dead, that the resurrection is real when I've looked at the evidence. So please tell me, in what way is the evidence weak? And that question gets right to the heart of their unbelief. And they, in order to answer that question, they'll have to figure out, well, do I disbelieve in Jesus Christ because I've analyzed the evidence and found it wanting? Or do I really have no idea what the evidence for his resurrection is? So we've got a video, an entire show, a TV show, Bob and Yurt Live. I had Dave Spiegel on in studio, and we talked about how to defend the faith. It's fun. It's called Defending the Faith with Apologetics with Dave Spiegel, S-P-I-E-G-E-L. So you can give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART. The video is only $19.95, and plus shipping and handling. That's only $80, shipping and handling. How much is it? $4.50. Hey, you know, postage went up. We're going to have to raise shipping and handling, too. It costs a fortune to mail stuff. one 800 8 yards, 1-800-836-9278. So, hey, James, thanks for calling in and giving us that encouragement.
Say something else, too?
Yeah, and let me just add about theologyonline.com.
Yeah.
That ministry, that's a ministry of Denver Bible Church.
Yeah, yeah, I know the administrator. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's one of the elders in our church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually how I've matured a lot more by debating people on there. And right now we're having he's actually debating an atheist right now. If you go to theologyonline.com,
right,
we're actually debating an atheist right now.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's fun. Good times.
That sounds great. Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Bob. God bless.
I appreciate that. That's nice. All right. Now let's get back to USA Today with the cover story that vindicates, not that we needed vindication, we had the Bible and the Word of God, but what we've been saying for 10 years when hundreds of millions of people around the world have said, well, if you live together first, you'll have better chance of having a good marriage. And we've said, no, that's wrong. Well, if you give kids condoms in school, you'll reduce the pregnancy rate. No, you'll increase it. Well, if you teach people about HIV, you'll have less of a spread of AIDS. No, you'll increase it. Just like the UN report out a week ago about some places in Africa where they got money and they saturated the country with AIDS education, and the country was swamped with condoms. This is according to the UN. And the AIDS rate was at an epidemic peak. They thought it couldn't get worse, and it got way worse. And they say, how could it be, despite all this, it's getting worse? That's why it's getting worse, you nincompoops. Because of what you're doing, it's getting worse. You're making it worse. And women, there's a quote from a woman in this article. She says, her name is Roseanne Garfield from Arlington, Virginia. Nice city. Arlington, Virginia. She's 28 years old. She said, divorce is just a huge issue for my generation. My family has not had good success with marriage. I was living with my boyfriend for the last year. I told him to make a decision about marriage, and that ended it. But it would never cross my mind not to live together with someone before marrying him. You tramp of a dimwit! You dope! You're never going to find a good guy shacking up first. See, what the culture teaches women is to allow themselves to be used by men. And then in this article, the men don't want to get married. Why buy the cow when the milk is free? And Roseanne, you're just a cow. You're a loose cow. So here we go. Back to page one here, the cover story. A variety of such studies will be presented at this Washington, D.C. conference. More than 5 million unmarried American couples live together right now. And this one researcher calls it true commitment versus a spirit of maybe I do. And they ask, who's more of a slacker in the commitment department, men or women? Duh. Obviously, it's men. And let's see. Men who drift into marriage following shacking up or who are dragged down the aisle by women who finally put their feet down are not good marriage risks, according to research. Many researchers agree with this Stanley guy. It is young men, not women, who move toward marriage with the speed of a slug. These findings reinforce stereotypes and will infuriate many who want to look before they leap. In other words, many men who want to have sex without making a commitment. Those are the ones that will upset. It is men, these researchers say, who drag their feet big time. Of course it is. Men would much rather have sex without needing to make a lifetime commitment. And that's why the feminists are so stupid when they say, well, the men made up all the rules. Well, if men made up all the rules, why is it that you have to make a lifetime commitment with a woman before you can have sex with her? If men made up all the rules because we're just a patriarchal society, then why would they make up that rule? They'd make up a rule that you can have sex with any woman you ever see, as long as you could overpower her. That's the rule that would have been made up if we were just animals who've evolved from slime. And it was men making up the rules, because the rules protected women and they restrained men. That's what the rules did. The rules are called morality. The Ten Commandments: do not commit adultery. Don't fornicate. Let's see a little bit more here. This one researcher says his findings hold up. Men who want to test marriage first are less committed to marriage in general and to their partners specifically than men who go directly to marriage without first shacking up. And why is that? They can't quite figure it out. It's because if you can have sex outside of marriage, then you can have sex outside of marriage. And once such a couple gets married, the guy is still thinking, well, I married her, but she believes that you can have sex outside of marriage. That marriage is not the only place for sex. So he's even more tempted than he would be otherwise to have an affair. Or to think, you know, if this gets a little boring, we could break this up because then I could have sex with another woman maybe within a few weeks of breaking up. I don't even have to worry until the divorce goes through. I could just start dating and move in with somebody because, you know, it's not relevant whether you're married as to whether or not you have sex. Between 50 to 60% of new marriages now involve couples who have first lived together. How is that one? I didn't know it was that high. Up to 60% of new marriages, over half of new marriages, are to people who first shacked up. Is that terrible or what? And the Christian families out there, that's what our kids and our grandkids will do. Unless we fight it with everything we have. That's what your beloved Christian grandkids will do unless you insulate them, you inoculate them against the immorality of our present culture. Men who live together feel it is a vaccination against divorce. That's the exact opposite of what I just said. Here's a quote from a 23-year-old guy from Bethesda, Maryland. I've been dating the same girl for 3 years, and it just seemed the natural progression for our relationship. the next step to take, says Scott Tolchinsky, who is admitting to the world that his girlfriend is a slut. All right, now this USA Today story, you can probably get it on the web, I guess. If you can go to the July 8th, 2002, usatoday.com. And you could get that and read the whole story, because I'm going to run out of time here. But so he says, hey, we've been dating for 3 years. It was just natural to shack up. He said, you see so many people get divorced that you want to try things out first. Dimwit. Yeah, sure. Ironically, the divorce rate among those who once lived together is higher than among those who have not, experts say. They also point out that the less religious men were particularly apt to be less committed. Yeah, I'd say so. That makes sense, doesn't it? The less religious men, well, a good percentage of them think that they've evolved from slime, that they're just animals, and therefore whatever woman they decide to have sex with, she's just an animal. She's just a slug that's a little bit more complicated. And they probably wouldn't feel all that bad about disappointing a slug. So after they get done with the cow, just move on to a younger cow. That's the way, that's our modern culture, that's how Hollywood sets up women. And you know what? A lot of people be more upset at me for saying it than at themselves for doing it. Or then our culture for encouraging it. Ah, brother, what a mess. If you want someone to marry, choose someone who will not live with you. That's how USA Today ends the article. That's pretty cool. If you want someone to marry, choose someone who will not live with you. I have a young couple in California. They just asked me to fly out there October 1st to perform their wedding. And so I asked them if they were in the practice of spending time together unchaperoned. What do you think they said? Well, they're Americans, right? I said, well, yeah, you know, sometimes we're unchaperoned. I said, well, you can't do that anymore. You're going to get married. You cannot spend time together unchaperoned. God made you guys. He gave you this sex drive. And if you spend time together unchaperoned and you like each other, everyone will assume you're having sex because everyone is not stupid. And so you got to be chaperoned when you're together. I remember before my mother got married, my dad died 10 plus years ago. She married a guy who lived in Philadelphia. She was outside of New York City. And he'd have to drive home late at night. And her friends would say, well, just let him stay in your guest room so he doesn't have to drive home all night. He might get in an accident. He'll be so tired. And my mother said, he's not staying here in this house. I don't care if he gets killed driving home. He's not staying here. What a mom. And that's why he married her. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.